Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Rosebud. Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 431, Ralph Breaks the Podcast.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It was only a matter of time.
Yeah, I'm surprised we made it this long, to be perfectly frank. So, well, I guess...
Well, you just got Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Wiffy.
Wiffy.
Wiffy. So, I don't know, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Got a full house.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. How about that?
Blake's not here.
I see you stole my joke.
Yeah. I stand by my statement.
It's not like he listens to this anyway.
That's true. Do any of us?
No. I download it just to get our numbers
I
up.
I barely do it. I give you about 50% when I'm here.
Yeah. So between the two of us, we're at a full 80.
Hey.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, and check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Shares. People who were kind enough to share the show this week, Brad Hyen, Librarian Cynthia, Griffin Fox-Smith, Julianne Jordan, Aaron Marlowe, Lane LeVanway, Ron Johnson, Travis Tewitt, Dingyan Guo, Tammy Sherman Powers, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Ralph Tribble, Richard Lawson, Matt Gonzalez, Susan Carlson, Jason Weesey, Timmy Tuzoons, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Chris James, and Chris Sanders. So thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks to Dingyan Guo for the corrections for the Fantastic Beasts episode.
Yeah.
Just because we don't hold that original movie too near and dear to our hearts.
No.
So a couple little things were like, why is this that way or that? And so there were some corrections there, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. And also don't forget we have a Patreon page. You can go there, patreon.com/realspoilers. Why are you giggling?
So we like just the scheduling of this past month to get things recorded for Patreon has been a joke
with the holidays. So
yeah.
Hopefully I'll give us a little leeway. And again, I'll say it again, like, we appreciate all the people that support that, but remember that show supports this show, so it's not like, oh, I didn't get my one episode this week, like I'm gonna quit this. No, that's bonus content to support this show, you know, and validate the $5 a month. But like, if we don't do it, don't quit on us, because that money goes to here, not to there.
Right.
So, you know, the money isn't to keep that show going. That's the bonus. And so with Joe and I and having kids and the holidays and families, you know, we do our best and we're going to keep doing it. But this is a really busy time.
We've got two we're working on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So anyway, bear with us. But the great thing is, though, there's a lot of backlog. So if you join the Patreon now, you can go back and listen to all those episodes we've done since the beginning. So it's especially great for new subscribers, and again for the people that have hung out with us, you know, thank you very much, and the new episode's coming very soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
Awesome. So theoretically.
Yeah, right.
So I guess that's it for all this. Let's dig into the movie, shall we? We should probably start by, because we're not going to do a box office proper this
yeah.
week, just
yeah.
talking about how much money it made.
I am curious as to what it made.
Because it was a lot.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it?
Absolutely. So this weekend, it is estimated that, so there's a 5-day holiday weekend type thing going on here. So it's estimated to have made 57 this weekend. But with the added bonus of the Thursday, I guess,
Wednesday,
or the Wednesday, Thursday crossover there, we're looking at $85.8
million.
Whoa. So, but that's on a $175 million budget. I mean, we know these things aren't cheap to animate. Yeah, $175 million is the budget. But...
unless it's got a minion in it.
Yeah. Can we just cut and paste it?
Right. Copy, paste, and say banana.
What did the first one do?
So the first one, that didn't open on a holiday weekend that I remember, but its opening weekend was $49
million. All right.
So,
and what was the budget on that one?
I think $165 million, so just about the same. They didn't up it too much.
And this, we're 6 years out, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's an actual number.
Yeah, they mentioned a couple times 6 years later.
Yeah, so...
Guys, it's been 6 years.
That's what I thought. I thought it was like
Felix
three.
Felix and Jane Lynch have been married for 6 years, and someone else mentioned 6 years, so.
Okay. Well, yeah, because I think Ralph says...
We haven't been apart in six years, so they keep kind of...
So, yeah, so this one opens not really giving a recap of the first one, but just, like, this is where we are 6 years later, is that Ralph and Vanellope kind of spend all their time together. Vanellope has mastered every single course in Sugar Rush, and she's getting a little bored. And it's such a weird relationship, because there are aspects of, like, a marriage... where it's like Vanellope kind of wants a little bit more out of life, and things are a little bit boring with Ralph.
She's looking for like an open relationship.
Right, and Ralph's just like, yeah, man, everything's cool.
Might be a bit of a metaphor.
I think
it's a completely platonic relationship. But you're right. I mean, the relationship that they show, the things that they're dealing with, and being clingy and things like that. I mean, there are some certain elements that can apply to friendships, but also it does seem like a marriage.
It's very smartly written where they give you a romantic relationship problems.
The adults can read into it one way, and the kids can say,
they're just friends.
Yeah, clingy friend.
Friend. Yeah. Also, it's interesting. There's no villain in this movie.
Yeah.
There's no legit. Like, right. There's no, was it, Turbo or King
I was
Candy?
Actually,
like,
King
there's
Candy.
No.
King Candy.
Oh, he was great. Alan Tudyk.
He was in
that
this.
Was, yeah. Who was he?
Nosebore.
Yeah, he is Nosemore.
Oh, was he? That's good stuff.
That's great. They gave him another role. Yeah. He was so good as Edwin.
Turbo.
As Edwin.
Doing his best Edwin impression.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, I told Katie, I'm like, you know who he's basically emulating?
Yeah.
I'm like Mad Hatter, and he's in Bedknobs and Broomsticks as like the
Edwin
crazy
is?
Grandpa. Yeah, he's flying around. Yeah, so I'm like, and I showed her a clip, and then I'm like, it sounds just like it. He does a great job.
He does. He's got one of those voices. It's funny, we went to that the first time they were here for Wizard World.
Yeah.
And they had that Serenity panel.
Yeah.
And
the Firefly panel.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Alan Tudyk. And then who else was it? Nathan Fillion and the Baldwin.
That sounds right. Yeah.
And two of the
Adam
three.
Baldwin.
Was it Adam? Mm-hmm. Small font. That's what that one is.
But he's not related.
That one's not?
I don't think he's related.
No, he's not.
Yeah. Oh.
It's just he's not a Baldwin.
No, he's not an official
it's
Baldwin.
The same
he just
last
has he's, he, well, if he were, he'd kind of be the
think,
coolest.
The better.
Guy.
Yeah, right.
My bodyguard.
Yeah, that's. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's right. But like, so two of the three of them.
It's also a little bit of a nut job.
Oh, is he really?
He's
like next level.
Yeah.
He's kind of gone down the Alex Jones path a time or two, if memory serves.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
But two out of three of those guys.
Coolest.
Are like Superman.
As far as filmography.
Yeah. But
Dan's like asterisk. Put a big fat one on there.
What I think so crazy is like Alan Tudyk, you remember him from, obviously, he was in Firefly and he was in Death at a Funeral and he was in these comedy movies.
Tucker and Dale.
Yeah, but he's done so many voices and you don't think of Alan Tudyk as a voice actor, you know, and he's
because his voices actually sound different.
Right, he's actually, that's what I mean. So
like, you never know that it's
him.
Who was he in? Wasn't he in Frozen too?
Wesselton.
Oh, the bad guy. Yeah,
from Weaseltown. It's Wesselton.
But that's the thing. I was talking to Katie about this, and I go, see, here's the difference. You put a celebrity in a movie, and they talk like the celebrity, and you're like, oh, Jane Fonda's in this movie, or whatever, you know? But Alan Tudyk does voice like a voice actor does. He's like Frank Welker. Doesn't sound like Frank Welker. He does a voice.
Right.
And so I think that's really cool that Alan Tudyk is a great comedian. Actor and he's really funny in live action, but he also is a really good voice actor.
Yeah.
They don't usually cross over to like the two extremes where they're good at.
And he's found a little niche in doing like little bit parts in these Disney flicks.
Oh, he's like a go-to guy. He's in so many of these.
Yeah. So
did you find as we were watching this, I was kind of like, you know, because you anticipate the villain.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hope they don't make that the villain. I hope they don't make that
Shank.
The villain. You know, it's like, oh, don't go that.
Is Shank going to be the villain?
Wonder Woman?
Is Yes going to be the villain?
Yeah,
those are the two.
I never felt.
Or I might be Yes. And I'm like, I kind of hope.
Because they could have ulterior motives.
Well, and I just felt like I was like, you know, then it's going to, you know, they make a villain. It's going to have to be like a manufactured, like, oh, that's why. And it's just going to seem silly, especially in a virtual environment.
And then even the villain they give you isn't really a villain.
No.
Like, I mean, it's not like. I like them going to the...
It's a misunderstanding.
Yeah, basically.
Well, it's an antagonist. Not a villain, wahaha, but like, I mean, as far as the conflict...
It's an insecurity.
I can't remember, literally.
I think it's pretty smart. I think it's clever. I enjoyed this movie. I saw it twice, actually, and it held up the second time. I was really excited to see like Easter eggs and pick things apart. It's not perfect, and I don't like it as much as the first one, but it's still completely solid, I think.
Yeah.
It's a fun, solid movie. I think that they kind of break some of their own rules. I think they got a little lazy with moving the plot along with things like, this is how this works. Okay, keep going. Like something didn't make sense.
I don't even mind that because I don't need an explanation.
No, I mean, they don't need an explanation, but when you know it, things don't work that way and they break their own rules and such, it's like, well, that's kind of just lazy writing. Again, very entertaining movie, but it does, like, if the first is a 9, I think this is a 7.
I think it's a little long, and I think the thing that makes it long is actually the best thing in the movie. So I was like,
that's true.
Not
gonna
complain
towards
about
the
it.
End, before we even see the quote unquote villain, you're like, well, this has to be wrapping up, right? And then they go on a whole different.
Yeah.
Then you find out what the conflict is.
There was no animated short in front of it.
No.
Is this the first time they've done
God.
That?
No.
Yeah,
no.
A lot. Well, a lot of the feature animation stuff doesn't.
Yeah,
wasn't that their thing?
Most
I think
of them
they
do.
Learned from that Frozen 2 one. Maybe.
Well, Incredibles 2 had one, and that was more recent.
Yeah, that one had one that had everybody crying. So
no,
but the Pixar's generally do. I don't know that the feature animation.
First, Wreck-It Ralph had the Paper Man.
Did it?
One. Yeah.
But I don't feel like it's as much a given as it is with.
I guess I always thought it was like their test.
Yeah,
that can be.
No, because there was one before Moana.
Uh-huh.
And that, well, no, like...
They both do it. He's right. They all have done it. This is the first one that hasn't done it.
But this movie's long.
Yeah, maybe that's what
I think that's
movie.
I think that's smart. Like, the fact that it's long, I think they learned from Frozen.
Well,
in
the
that
Frozen
regard.
Short. The Frozen short wasn't short.
No, that's
right.
True.
It wasn't short.
30 minutes.
It wasn't Pixar, but that was before Coco, which was Pixar. And that was one that was weird because it was a Disney short before a Pixar movie.
Right.
You know what the weird thing is?
It did not work.
Which I love that joke from... it may have been Moana, where she's just she's from the other studio. We don't know what she's saying.
Oh, that's Merida from Brave.
Merida.
Well, but somebody talks.
Oh, who said it?
Who says it to?
Oh, gotcha.
Says it to Vanellope.
I think it was Pocahontas that said
maybe
it.
Maybe it was,
So, Dan, maybe you know the answer to this, you know, since you have a young kid and love Disney, but they're selling that Frozen Ever After, which I enjoyed. I really loved that short.
That's not the booger one, right? Or is
no,
it
it's the one before Coco. I loved it, you know, and I didn't have it wasn't a problem for me. So, like, I loved that. But they're selling it on Blu-ray, and it's, like, $20, and it was on sale Black Friday for $15.
Yeah.
That's a little short film. Like, they're selling it at full Disney retail. Like, are there more shorts packed in there, or are they selling that for $20?
That's what, I mean,
we watched it the one time, and Katya was
has she grown
upset.
Out of it? So mine has. Bella has no interest in Frozen whatsoever.
She still loves it, but I mean, it's not like when she was performing it.
Well, okay, that's fair.
Ad nauseum.
Yes,
but
on repeat.
But I think she liked the surprise birthday short better than that other one.
Yeah, that's the booger one.
Where
Elsa gets sick.
Yeah, she gets a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like she liked that a lot. And then this one, when we saw it at Coco, it was like, but that
really?
Was the general. Yeah, she just
that was a short film.
It was also
it wasn't a short.
It was,
you know, that
it
was
long.
That's what they should do though. Like DC did that. So on the beginning of those DC animated flicks, they would do like a quote unquote showcase short. So you'd get like a Catwoman movie, a Green Arrow, Spectre. I think there was a Superman Shazam. Like they'd have like a Jonah Hex. Like they and then they. Put them all together on one disc with the Superman Shazam one. And like, okay, like I can get behind
that's what they do
like
with
a little 15 minute, you know, five or six 15 minute shorts.
They do that with Disney too. But this one seems to be Frozen Ever After and it was on sale for $15.99. And I'm like, am I missing something here? This is not a full movie. But anyway, so back to Wreck-It.
Yeah. So they're just kind of hanging out in the arcade and, Vanellope has expressed, she's just like, I know all the secret tracks. I know, you know, everything is pretty predictable.
But you have three to choose from.
Yeah, I did like that line. He's just like, you have three. She's like, I know. So Ralph, in his tireless effort to appease Vanellope, like jumps into Sugar Rush and creates a secret track, and Vanellope
loves
it.
Who's watching Fix It Felix Jr.?
Nobody.
Wasn't that the plot of the first
movie?
That
was exactly the plot of the first movie.
I mean,
maybe
these are the problems I have.
Yeah,
because
I could see that.
The first movie, they're like, the game starts. Where's Ralph? Oh, my God, we're freaking out.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I'm just going to go into Sugar Rush now that the arcade's open.
Yeah.
Things like that, where it's just like...
That is the entire plot of the first movie. That's
so true. It undermines the first one, and I don't like that. Again, it's so fun, but I'll jump in with little things like that, where it's like, oh, if you know the first one, it kind of...
That's fair.
Okay.
So she goes into the game, she goes on the secret track, and then she kind of takes over the machine, and in the process of that, the girl who is playing as Vanellope snaps the steering wheel. She must have the strength of a... 50 men to snap mm-hmm. that steering wheel.
Well, I also assumed it's a very old.
It's an old. That's the only. Yeah, right. Yeah. That also makes sense. But I was like, geez.
Is she the little girl from the first one, aged 6 years? Because I couldn't tell. They looked kind of similar, but
the little girl that was playing Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe
with the glass. They both not that both having glasses. But I mean, they look similar to me. And age 6 years, kids grow up.
That would be something.
I wonder
Disney
if
do
it's
too.
The kid aging.
Yeah, now she just broken both games. Way to go, kid! You're no longer allowed in the arcade.
I was like, don't you wish that Litwack just lit her up for breaking?
God, get out of my arcade. That's just breaking stuff.
That's a collector's item. Yeah.
So she goes to Litwack is just kind of like, well, like it's an old game. Like, no, there's no parts for
I
it.
I like this. No one will have this. And the kid's like, ding, 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 found one.
Found one. He's like, oh, all right. And he goes to eBay and there's a replacement part for $200. He's like, I don't make that money on this game in a year. What's the point? So they're pretty much saying that Sugar Rush is going to get shut down.
So in the first movie, Sugar Rush is a two-person racer. If the wheel would have broken on one side, they could have kept playing on the other side.
It was a two-person racer?
Yeah. There were two side by side. So in this movie, they make it a one-person, so the entire plot hinges
like that's
on...
That's a huge thing to pull out the
yeah,
change.
Yeah, it's a big mess.
So, I mean, just another thing.
I wonder, you know, obviously Lasseter is out at Disney.
You got a credit
on
this.
His name
is
on the credits in this.
This is probably one of his
last. I think this is probably his last, right?
Because these take a few years, so it takes a while to cycle.
But every time you see it, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, I did see, I was like,
Katie
said
that too. She goes, John Lasseter. I'm like, well, I mean, in development. I mean,
and I wonder if those are details, you know, to the guy's credit, like he saved Disney.
That he would have
caught. Yeah. Had he been on the production.
It's just little things like that that, you know, bother me that, again, like, you can have an enjoyable movie. Kids are never going to think about that. But for someone that loves the first movie like I do, you look at these little things, you're like, oh, so, you know, yeah, in those games, it's like, well, if one side breaks, fine. You put a tape on that one and you keep playing the second one, right?
Right.
But this one, oh, there's one wheel, one game, it breaks. Well, there's no Sugar Rush. So, you know,
I mean, I guess you could say that you need to have two racers for it to work. Like, if you were to keep the... Like, you need to have...
No, any arcade game with multiple things, you can still play one of them.
They don't mandate that you have to have two.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
you don't
again...
have to sit there until, like, the other
person
shows
play,
up.
Please?
Yeah. We don't have to hang on it too long, but just another
that's
little
fair.
Thing
yeah,
where it's like,
it's,
okay,
it's
let's move the plot
error.
Along, you know.
So...
Or explain it. Say, the other one broke sometime in that 6 years. Like, oh, we're only down to one, and now
so
that's, like...
parts.
Just say it. You know, like, I wish they would just include little things to at least fix cheap little plot holes.
Right,
you know?
Right. And Ed O'Neill just coming back as Litwack.
Still doing it.
So they pull all of the kids, all of the characters out of Sugar Rush. They pull them out of the game and put them in the central hub. And I do like where, like, the Surge.
Who is this guy?
Love.
Who is Surge?
Surge is, like, the guy who...
No, no, who's the voice?
Who's the voice? I don't know.
Because it's, like, they spend so much time on him, and he has a distinct voice where you're like, well, that's got to be someone.
I don't know. I mean, I
don't know.
It's probably the voice from the first one, but I love that Bill Hader's
Phil Johnston.
Okay.
So, nobody.
He might be a voice actor, but I was wondering, because they give him a lot of time, like, focus in on him, because he comes out and he's like, well, blah, 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 you know, and you're like, oh, this character.
He's around a lot more in this one than he is in the first one.
It's clever, though. I mean, I love, the thing is, this movie's clever, like the first one, and the internet part is very clever and new, but it's like, you can't give him points for, like, the hub and the electricity and all that, because it's like, well, they did that.
No,
just lose.
Once, this is basically Wreck-It Ralph until they get to the internet, and then it's game on.
Yeah.
But they get their pretty quick.
They do get there pretty quick. So Ralph overhears the e-boy thing, which I think is very funny that Ralph
e-boy.
I don't know what it is. So he's at Tap, you know, they don't know where everybody's going to go.
Vanellope's having this crisis because
she's glitching like crazy.
He's like adopted her. You know, you can stay at my place for now. And he's trying to build a fort. And she's just looking out the arcade cabinet at Sugar Rush that's turned off.
She's
like, I need some time alone. And this is where you first feel this tension of like Ralph's like, no, but we can't be apart. And she leaves. And so he meet me at Tapper later and she doesn't.
Right. He meets. So Felix and... Jane Foster.
Jane Lynch. I can't remember her name.
adopt all of the characters from Sugar Rush.
And I love this. It will be easy, right?
Surge is just like, I don't think you understand what you're undertaking.
It's one of the I love it. He said, right. Oh, it's easy. You just give them all that they want and whatever.
Maybe make them your friend.
Be their best friend and give them everything they ever want. I do find it interesting that Jane Lynch plays kind of the same character that she played in
Glee.
No. Dang it, Talladega Nights.
Oh.
Where she like,
it's kind of her thing though.
But she kind of whips those two boys into shape. You know, like Will Ferrell's sons, who are just like terror trains. Right. Yeah. And by the end of the movie, they're just like, oh, thank you very much. You know, so like they whip these 15 awful racers into shape. Yeah. I think Taffeta actually in the first one was Mindy Kaling.
Mm-hmm.
And she, Taffeta, I guess she had more to say in the. I guess you didn't really need Mindy Kaling for
the,
this.
The characters from the first one are pretty much cameos in this movie.
Yeah, you know, basically.
Felix, the Jane Lynch character, all the racers. Like, that's the thing is that if you don't get a lot of those core characters, they're in little they're bookends for this movie.
Right. Yeah. So Ralph tells Vanellope, he's like, we'll just go to E-Boy. Like, that's what this internet is. And we'll go get the thing and we'll come back.
Oh, the Wiffy. They plug in the Wiffy.
I do love that Sonic is like a complete asshole.
Yeah,
like he's just a dick. Like, so
he's kind of encyclopedia.
Yeah, but he's just like, it's Wi-Fi, and he's like, what's that? And he's like, it's the internet, and they're like, oh. So, and of course, Surge is like, no, nobody can go on the internet. Like, this is a terrible idea.
We don't understand it, so we should just stay out. And tapes it off.
Don't do it. So Ralph and Vanellope sneak into the internet. They go to the modem or the hub, which I thought was really cool.
It was really good.
Yeah, it looked kind of Star Wars-y.
It looks just like a Netgear router, like or like a Linksys Netgear. Yeah,
which is, are those still things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So they go, and obviously it's not working, and then we cut to Litwack, and he is setting up
setting up
the internet.
And I love the avatars. I love how every human, when they go to the internet, gets a little square avatar.
Yeah.
Just like you do in the video games and everything. You have your little avatar. Right. They look just like them, wear the same clothes. Very clever to visualize.
I agree.
And then if they die, their internet connection gets disconnected.
And then they have to reboot.
It's good. Yeah.
So Litwack, you know, the mini Litwack shows up. Everything turns on because Litwack has activated the internet. The mini Litwack shows up, walks to like a Star Trek transport pod and like gets zipped to the internet. Vanellope, again, like she's great. Like I think Sarah Silverman does a fantastic job again as Vanellope.
She puts on more of a voice this
time. She absolutely does.
So in the first one, it's Sarah Silverman going a little pitchy.
Yeah,
But you know, I mean, it's her voice, but it's like a little turn up. This one, she's actually putting on a
voice.
When
we get to the song, that was fantastic. Yeah.
Written by Alan Menken.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
They actually had Disney guy that composed.
That's pretty good.
That's why it's so good. Yeah.
So, you know, Vanellope being the fearless kid that she is, jumps on, bam, she's gone. Ralph is just like, whoa, and he jumps on, and they're gone. And then we get to the internet, and it's all hell breaks loose. Like, it's just, you know, there's information everywhere. There's people everywhere. Yeah,
it's very clever. I mean, all the social medias, everything from Wikipedia, IMDb. I mean, this is a treasure trove of Easter eggs. Like,
almost, you need to see it more than twice.
You need to own it and be able to pause it.
Everything.
Which is what they said about, like, Game Central Station in the first one. Like, can't wait to pause and pick out all the characters. Right. Get to the internet. And then try to pick out all the, they did a very good job with, you know, oh, look, there's a store for goggles. That's a big building for just goggles.
And then you get to Disney World or whatever they call it. And it's, I mean, that one.
Yeah. That's even, later on, but that's great.
Yeah. So they, do they go to the No Bar first?
That's pretty much their first stop.
And I do like that, you know, he's like, my auto feature or my auto fill is a little irritable.
That's very clever when they start talking and they fill just like Google or all the search engines do. Again, that's another really clever thing that he starts trying to predict what you're going to say.
Yeah. So Vanellope walks up, and again, she's, of course, I don't want to say she's so innocent, but she is, because she's just like, you know, the nobody ever says please or thank you. And of course she does to the No Bar guy. And she says, I just need to know where the Sugar Rush steering wheel eBay. And he was like, I found one. And they zip over to eBay. I thought this was hilarious, where people are just bidding on things. And
First of all, before they walk in, the pop-ups. That's another genius visualization. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, lose belly fat. Oh, make money playing video games.
Like, oh, okay.
The fact that they're, like, and Ralph's like, oh, and he's innocent.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know
right.
these things. And he's like, oh, I like, oh, you've won money or you're handsome or whatever. Oh, I am. Thank you. I thought that was really great. Like, then they popped up.
Bill Hader was great.
Yeah.
Like,
he's always great.
Always great.
They didn't give him an end credit title card.
Really?
Like, he's a pretty big character. Alfred Molina's in this movie for 10 seconds and got a title card.
Who's Alfred Molina?
The slug worm thing.
Oh.
He gets a title card. Yeah. I'm like, Bill Hader doesn't get a title?
I thought he was one of my favorite
parts.
He
was great, yeah. I like Gord. I think
Gord
he's the
was
breakout.
Also great.
Disney has done this thing, if you guys notice, with Moana and with Gerald and Nemo or Dory, with the goofy little side characters that become lovable and everyone mm-hmm. in every movie.
I mean, when we talked to Jim Hill about Moana, that Heihei wasn't supposed to do that.
He was supposed
to do like a Zazu from Lion King, where he's gonna be kind of snarky and mean, and then they were just like, he's too mean.
Yeah,
and that's the awesome thing about animation is like, I don't know. Like a month from release, they're just like, pull it out.
They don't have to get people to fly in to refilm it. They just...
Well, that's the other thing is like, especially when you change Heihei into a character that doesn't talk.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're just like, just make him goofy.
Yeah.
And that was Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. Yeah. Who
played Heihei.
But it's like, I love that Disney has found these characters that Disney and Pixar, they all have now the goofy little weird side character that's
I do love me some Gerald.
Yeah, right. Gerald's great, parts, but like Gord is this.
That arm.
Off,
with that arm that just keeps going, and they hang on it, and it goes up and over. And over. It's so creepy and so fantastic, and he just appears out of nowhere.
If they can achieve that in a figure, it'll be awesome. But it was also I was just like, ooh.
It's very unsettling. Katie looked over at me, and she's just like, oh, like, it was great to see her reaction. Like, what is that thing?
That's funny. Yeah. So yeah, so now we're introduced to Bill Hader, who's. Talking about
send up like, player make money
playing video games.
He's got his like page boy hat and hey fella,
and it's one of his like
JP Spamly is his name.
It's one of his go to voices like that old time, but it's still great. So they go in to eBay and obviously people are bidding on things and Ralph is like, oh, I get it, like you just
yell out the numbers
number. So there's one person bidding, like they're going through, they're watching like somebody's bidding on like a velvet painting of a cat. And then they find the steering wheel.
I like that he holds her up. She's like, oh, there's big baby clothes called lingerie. There's lots of little coolies. Yeah.
So they see it. So they rush over there and there's one guy bidding and the bid is like, it's $200. And then I think Vanellope says 300 and the guy says 400 and they just keep going. And then all of a sudden
Ralph is like, move over.
Yeah,
I got
like,
this.
$27,000.
Well, at first he goes 1,000.
Yeah. And the guy's like, okay.
Nobody's
bidding, but it just keeps going up. I got to tell you, that's not how eBay works.
Well, that's my other problem. I thought Tom's an eBay guy. He'll get that too. Yeah. I'm like, so eBay is your max bid,
right?
And it goes an increment over the last one. So again, the whole plot of the movie being set up by something that doesn't work that way.
Yeah, someone would have had to have bid like $19,990 or something.
Right. Now, if you're going to have this be a fake service and called it eBid, fine, do it that way, right? Because but if you're going to make eBay is everywhere. It's eBay, like a huge product placement.
Big time.
And a lot of people use eBay. So like, if you're going to make the whole plot revolve around the way that we know eBay doesn't work, it just rubs you the wrong way. Where you're like, oh, it's just
move along. Notice that. Like, I have been snaped more than once. I'm just like, God, $1? Come on!
Yeah, it would have just went to the next increment, and it might have went up to 600, whatever the other guy would have stopped at, but no one was going to 20,001. But why, it's a fun little gag, but it doesn't work.
Well, and that's why I liked when he said, oh, he's good.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, that thing's just going up by $1 every time.
Yeah. So they win the thing, and they go check out, and I love this gal, who's kind of like
she's really good.
Yeah, she's like Roz, kind of from Monsters.
Yeah, kind of. Seven.
Yeah.
No, I mean, 11.
Do you know those aren't credit card
those
numbers?
Those aren't.
And he was like, oh, I left my wallet in my house.
Penelope says that.
That it's now locked behind a safe and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, okay, cool. You have 48 hours to
24.
Pay. Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, it's actually 48. But I just sold something.
Oh, but okay. Yeah. But for the plot of this movie.
It's 24.
Again, okay. Now I will
Which
say.
Is a really, like, that's a short time. Like that 24 hours deteriorates and we lose that 24 hours pretty quickly.
When they get out of Slaughter Race, they have 8 hours left.
Yeah.
Like, dang, you spent 16 hours in Slaughter Race? Good Lord. I don't know. See, then
the timing
the
is
way
a little
the
weird.
Time, it's weird. Now, when they're back at Tapper real quick, when Ralph and Felix are talking about their problems and he's slamming root beers.
It's hilarious.
You know, and then Ralph gets the idea to go to the internet. Felix says, I'll cover for you. How does that work? And
Right.
So now
also,
Ralph's gone for 24 hours at Fix It Felix.
We saw how that worked in the first one.
Yes.
Because Felix did try to cover for him.
Yeah.
And it just didn't
the
work.
The entire plot of the first one is Ralph's not there. Now, how do you solve that problem? You put Zangief in a Ralph outfit and you have him pretend.
Oh,
that's
my
a really,
God.
That's a fun cutaway.
The Zangief shaving conversation.
Yeah, that's funny.
Was amazing.
But wouldn't that be great if they cut to, I mean, see, we never go back and forth. They're at the internet. They don't go back to Game Central Station till the end. What about like,
and nobody
like,
picks how, Zangief in Street Fighter anyway.
Right.
So
I mean, that's what I see in that game. There's lots of characters, some of them, you know, whatever. But like, oh, I wonder how my game's going. Quick cut. Zangief is dressed up like Wreck-It Ralph. Right. I'm going to wreck you. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been funny. 2 second explanation. They never explain how Fix-It Felix.
I think it could even be a running gag where you keep bringing in different video game characters
you've got
to
like
fill
Donkey
in.
Donkey Kong or something.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like you can't make the whole. It undermines the entire plot of the first one to have Ralph be gone for 24 hours
to have
and Q-Bert, not matter.
But not really figure out how the hell to break stuff because he's Q-Bert and doesn't have arms.
Jane Lynch could be shooting out the bricks of the building. Like, just a little funny cutaway to explain. But
yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. So they go to. They go back to Bill Hader's character and they're just like, how do we make money doing this?
And this
like,
is great because I thought the same
is this
thing.
A
I'm
thing?
Like, yo, yeah. But oh, like, okay. But I'm like, how much money are they going to really? If you play these like phone apps and it's like, you know, you can pay a dollar for whatever turns or whatever the game wants, or you could fill out this survey and get 100 free in-game credits or whatever.
Oh.
But it's always like, sign up for Netflix and get a $3 credit. They're small. So I'm like, they need 21,000. And he's like, find this sword for $3
$15.
And find this for 15. And I'm like, that's so great because they're thinking like they're going to make thousands.
Right,
and,
right. But then they kind of say, we need some high dollar items.
Yeah.
And they show this car from Death Ra- or whatever.
Slaughter Race.
Slaughter Race.
So are we saying that's, like Grand Theft Auto. Okay, all right. Yeah. This is where we
but
actually,
more race, like only racing,
only
involved,
racing,
but at the open world because the thing is in the arcade they're so contained. You know,
right.
They can look out the cabinet. It's a very small little world. But this, they pan up and Slaughter Race, or maybe it's during her song, and you see how big it is.
Right,
and that's awesome. Like the open world online game,
and that's
huge.
What it was.
Yeah.
So they go, and it's just, and Ralph is just like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
He does this. I do love where he's starting to like crawl away. And she's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm terrified.
This is great, too. The whiny little online kids. Well, I mean, the one kid especially, because you've got this big, tough guy.
Yeah.
But when he moves his mouth, it's an avatar. And it's a little kid with his headset. And his grandma's like, you're not playing that.
No, grandma.
Yeah. No, I'm not grandma.
I do also like that the animation is wonky.
Well, that's
they're
avatars.
Like, I think I appreciate that.
And they
that.
Open their mouth like a puppet.
Right.
And yeah, it's
what
clever.
Was the girl's name? Because the girl's name was hilarious.
Oh, Babraham Lincoln.
Babraham Lincoln.
And when you hear Gal Gadot saying like, I'm, you know, it's not that I don't care about whatever whiny kid and Babraham Lincoln,
but
just to hear her say the.
I also, so that the sketch is Gal Gadot, which
not
is Shank.
Shank.
Which to your credit, to your point about actors doing voices, it's just like, well, no, I mean, now I just.
This is Gal Gadot.
I see Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
That's a, you know. And well, it doesn't.
It's fine.
It doesn't hurt that they make her character look like her. Like that.
No, I think it helps.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah,
which is what. But that was like, once you know, when they had that reveal, I was kind of like, I'm like, oh man, don't make her a villain.
Sure, you know, and I don't think that they
because I think
she's smart enough.
Well, I also think that like kids are gonna like, you know, because they don't make her mean.
Nope, she's totally not mean.
Her whole crew are like, you know, they.
They're tough,
know,
and they're badass, but they're not
they,
mean.
The guy comes out with the blowtorches, and then as soon as it's like they drop,
they're Alice Cooper's band off stage.
Yeah,
in Wayne's
right.
World. Like, do you think that, I don't know. That seems very
well. They're all the people from the Wreck-It Ralph characters. They're all when they're all they're not bad guys. Just because you're bad guy doesn't mean you're bad guy.
Yeah.
Right.
They're all playing characters. They're
like,
roles in the game.
Yeah, the butcher was like, I saw something.
Oh,
it might have been a TED talk.
I don't. It's not so much what they said, but how it made me feel.
Yeah.
And I just want to say I appreciate your journey.
Really. Yeah, right.
I respect your journey.
It was very fun.
And
I
respect your journey.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's really clever.
I also think she probably can't afford to be a villain at this point. I don't think Gal Gadot can afford.
Oh, I think it'd be fine. Especially as a cartoon.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
She could, but I just think they were smart enough to not make a villain. This movie is deeper because of the conflict.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And especially, so the duplicity of the, you know, Ralph breaks the internet. It's about memes and breaking the internet, but he also breaks
the
internet.
Literally breaks
the internet. And it's about viruses and insecurities, vulnerabilities and software and his insecurities and himself. Yeah. It's smart.
It is very smart. Yeah. So they devise the plan where obviously Ralph goes
in
first.
The noise department comes in.
And the entire, like, so Vanellope kind of sneaks in behind and steals the one car. Amazing race.
Okay.
this is off
the action race scenes in this movie are awesome. Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say kudos to them for really like stepping it up as far as like the feel of real life racing and car chases and scenes in this animated world.
Right.
Because, you know, we see Sugar Rush and it's fun, but it's so cartoony. Mm-hmm. Then you get to
this
and you get more of a photorealistic world.
Right.
And even though she's cartoony, but it like all works very well with the cars and it's fun.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's pretty good. So massive race between Vanellope and Vanellope and Ralph. And
Ralph
then,
is like wedged into the back seat.
Which I do think he's like, he's like, they don't really make these cars for bigger boys, do they?
Yeah. When the, what was the big guy's name again? The Butcher.
Butcher.
Or,
yeah.
He, you know, he jumps on, like you see cars and they're like, that was easy. And you see cars flying in the background and then he comes on the other ramp and like jumps over. Yeah. And,
it was a little ridiculous.
It's fun.
In a good way.
Yeah. It was really fun.
So Vanellope thinks that she's going to use her glitch to, pass through like this
another problem.
What?
Well, she uses her glitch to get through the flaming blockage, and then 10 feet away from the exit sign, a bus pulls out.
Yeah.
You've got a glitch, right?
Oh.
Why'd you not just glitch around? The exit was right there. Again, it's selective on when you choose to use your power that you've mastered.
And I do like that Gal Gadot does not have a glitch, but she, like, you know,
she's awesome. She swings sideways and
does all kinds of
stuff.
But cut
it's like, you don't remember when you just used it 5 seconds ago? Like, you literally just did it.
Maybe it's, she had to, there's a refractory period for
the glitch. Sugar Rush, she's like, boop, 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 boop.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
Okay. But, so now they've been foiled again.
So they have to give the car back. And then, is this where the talk happens, or is this where they go to
This is where they take the picture. Well, so Gal Gadot, Shank is like, she's like, she appreciates it. Ralph does a little whining, and she's like, I respect your whatever, your dismay, but I'm not, no, you can't have the car, but I will help you. And so the other girl pulls out her cell phone, and she
do
a blow and go.
Right.
And
what now?
Oh,
this is like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
It's like, so you rebuild your strength.
And so the guy like turns on
Speaking
the flame.
Of refractory periods.
The flame.
It is a kid's movie.
That's true. Yeah,
I think the threshold is lower. Yes, it is.
The flamethrower guy puts on the gas, but without igniting it.
Right.
And then they say something funny, and he says, I'm going to wreck it, with his face blowing back. They call him the guy with the whatever jowls.
Yeah.
Flapping jowls or whatever. And so she's like, yep, I've just uploaded it to BuzzTube. And then so that's.
Well, so why? Okay. So out of all of the websites that they've used, and they even mention YouTube.
Yeah.
Why don't they use YouTube?
I know. I thought that was odd as well.
And
they combined BuzzFeed and YouTube.
Well, so they could make up their own like system of hearts and money and community. You know, like
The monetization part.
See, that's what they should have done with eBay, but I guess it was a product placement. Yeah. But if you make up a company, you can know how it works, but then change the rules, and that's what they did with BuzzTube.
Okay.
So now you get hearts, and hearts turn into money, and this like that.
Well, isn't that kind of the premise of YouTube though? Like you get
not
people
likes,
to like
it's
your
views.
Video?
No, it's
actually, it's more similar to the premise of what they have in Japan called YY.
What's that?
It's like a live streaming service where people they live stream and then you can vote and give them money, and then like and it's weird. There's like this whole universe of people that don't have money that watch to see when people give them money, and then if you give money to the live streamer, if you give a lot, then you get lots of adulation within this world. And it's like, and they have these like annual contests where people like give millions of dollars to these people that are literally
Seriously?
Just in front of a webcam in their apartment.
And just like,
it's not Japan, China.
But they're just living their life. They're not playing video games or doing anything.
Right. Yeah.
It's whatever.
And like, I can't even figure out what they're doing.
So it's like a Big Brother type thing. They're watching them.
No, that's the thing is I watched a whole documentary about it called The People's Republic of Desire. And I can't figure out what they're doing other than saying, vote for me and give me money. I'm like, what else are they doing? And they like sometimes they'll sing or something, but normally they're singing about giving them money and stuff. It's like, I'm just like,
but
what is the entertainment value here? But it's huge.
I got
that
you.
Culture is so
weird culture,
but it's so interesting. It's just different, you know. It's different than ours, and so like, you know, there's a lot of plastic surgery in Asia. Like very young people get plastic surgery.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times that's what these people do is then they take the money and they get plastic surgery
to do what?
It's a huge thing. Kids want to get plastic.
Make their noses higher, make their eyes less
More Western.
And yeah.
You're like considered like not cool if you don't have plastic surgery at a young age in some of these countries. It's just a different culture. So it's interesting. But yeah, this one, so it's more about the hearts and life convert to money. So they go to see Yes, which I think is great. It's Taraji P. Henson.
That's who I thought. Okay.
As, you know, who's famous for saying Yes, Queen and Yes and all. And they make her Yes.
That came from her?
Isn't that what she said?
I think she was like catalyst.
I thought it was that comedy duo on Comedy Central.
Thought it was her saying, Yes, like as from Empire, right?
Yeah, that's what she's on, yeah.
Back to the YouTube thing, I was kind of glad that they didn't use YouTube because YouTube's got a really unsafe algorithm for kids. So never let your children watch YouTube alone.
Totally.
So what do you mean?
You click to thing to thing to thing, and all of a sudden you're on like, how does sex work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really, I mean, and they target kids, and then that's when you start to get like, and a big thing is like, there's a lot of like little kids playing with like
toys,
Disney action figures, and the scenarios are terrible.
Yeah.
It's car accidents, drowning, stuff like that. So it's like, and even YouTube Kids is not.
I was going to say, they finally came out with YouTube Kids, but it's not. Okay.
Not. Because we had. I will monitor, we'll watch some stuff on YouTube, but I would never walk away from YouTube.
Totally.
She watches people getting scared.
Yeah, you got to be careful because they'll go from people really getting scared to your favorite horror scenes and then your favorite gore, they'll bounce from.
Just read up on it. It's fascinating and horrifying.
Should that not be a thing?
Joe's like, I want to share that moment time.
That's a huge deal.
We watched Saw together.
Joe's like, we just watched Antichrist this weekend together. It was a great bonding moment.
She seems completely fine.
Just like me.
What's else in the queue? Oh, a Serbian film.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, it's just bad. So it was kind of like, oh, good.
Okay.
I'm glad that they had a made-up thing for that part because I was like,
That's fair. So let
your daughter watch Antichrist. It's one way to keep her away from boys.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
hey,
they
I'm
ejaculate
cool with it.
Blood.
Yeah, look how weird this is. They're creepy. Nobody wants to hang
anyway,
out with
so
boys.
So they go to BuzzTube and they meet Yes and Maybe, I think is the other one.
Yeah, which I thought was, again, like Maybe, I was hoping was going to be Maybe from
Arrested Development.
Yeah,
sure.
But yeah, it's not. So she kind of explains the premise where she's just like, the likes you get translate into dollars and, you know, we'll have to do whatever. And
oh my God, I have $40,000. All we needed was 27.
She goes 40. Yeah. $40.
Ralph's
and you're
not
falling,
the quickest.
No. And I feel like they make him dumber in this one than he was in the first one.
In the first one, he's contained in his. Yeah. When you're living in an arcade,
true.
It's
okay.
Different. He's on the internet now.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's
that's
a very
fair.
Simple guy. It's,
right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And then, and she kind of, yes. Tells him that like, and you're dropping.
Yeah, like and but you're done. Like,
you've had your five seconds of fame,
which is so. It's a great metaphor for the internet,
But
that's
true.
It's very smart. And so they devise the plan of I'm gonna keep on doing because she talks about what's popular. And she goes through the list.
Yeah, she's like Rob's makeup like, tutorials, cooking things, cat
says,
videos.
I'm gonna do them all.
Awesome. Yeah, she's like, well, I don't think you need to do all of them. He's like, nope. And again, like he's willing to do anything. Mm-hmm. To save Vanellope.
Right.
And like, so it's endearing, but at the same time, it's kind of like, okay.
But he's also coming from a good place.
He
absolutely
is.
If you think about this, the issues here are more caused by Vanellope than Ralph. Ralph is clingy, but he's also coming from a good place. Like, Vanellope's like, I'm just tired. Like, they're trying to do the follow your dream thing, but she's also like, I'm just going to abandon Sugar Ray.
But his clinginess destroyed her game.
Right.
You know.
But she would.
He goes into her game and makes her a new
he goes
track.
Into her
she
game.
Appreciated it, though.
Yeah, but
she liked it. She said, that was the best track ever.
But
it
because
but it also
actions,
destroyed her game.
It broke her game.
But she also did it. She took control and wanted to go through the new route.
But the new route wouldn't have been there if Ralph hadn't done that.
Yeah. That's true. She can choose, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think when they have this talk and then Ralph comes into her game and gives her a new track and she takes the track, like... He made
she
the
was
track.
Into it though. I'm just saying she's not completely
no, but I think she is just as at fault as he is.
But they just like
if she has a conversation with Ralph, which obviously isn't, you know, and they so we'll just jump to that part is they Ralph does all these videos. He blows up on the internet, literally. He makes, I don't know, like again, maybe like 30 grand. So he has enough. He pays for the I do like the little e-boy that keeps popping up that gets in the little room. He's like, you got it, chief. And like takes off. So that he pays for the thing. He calls like on their little flip phone. it just so happens that it turns on while Vanellope is talking to Gal Gadot's character.
It's another plot hole. Why
it is a little,
why,
like,
is it,
why
muted?
Is it, why is it,
it's
on
a,
mute?
It's a video chat that right. turns on. They never showed any of the other video,
but again,
chats
like
muting.
We talked, you, Tom, you talked about it in that Mark Wahlberg movie where Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne have that conversation where it's just like, I don't know what the hell we're gonna do with these kids,
right?
But, like, the kids don't hear it, like, it's
right
a, where in this one they play into the,
this
it's
is the
standard trope. Yeah, where, yeah, I liked in Instant Family that it was just a private conversation
right.
of them regretting something, yeah.
and then not,
and it didn't have to be a character flaw.
Yeah, yeah. Where in this one, she, Vanellope, is just kind of like, I don't want to go back, yeah. like, this is where I want to be. And of course, when something's muted, I don't think you can hear it either. So, like,
no, you can.
Can you
can mute one end, but it made no sense that he was muted,
right?
Because
right.
It's just the thing opened. It so it vibrates off the dashboard. It's there. They have a little cell phone,
yeah,
and it opens up, and that's how they've been video chatting back and forth. But it falls off, and then it opens, but it's muted instantly, and it's like, but that isn't a thing. You
no.
don't open a chat and mute it.
Mute it, yeah.
And they weren't any of the other times. So it's like, again, that was just a lazy way for him to
yeah.
be hearing what they're saying. But my point is, and I totally get that Ralph is being too clingy and stuff, and that's the whole point of this movie, and insecure, and I really like the message behind it, but I just don't think Vanellope is completely innocent here, because she's also being selfish in certain ways. I mean, she's gonna leave Sugar Rush,
right?
She's a popular character in there. They just killed King Candy so she could be take over in the game, and now she's leaving the game and leaving all her other racers at fault,
right?
She's a popular character now, people can't choose her, and she's gone, so she's leaving all them, and you know that her issues could cause Sugar Rush to stop and their world to be destroyed, and she doesn't care, she just wants to be at this other. So I mean, I just think that there are some, they're,
well,
really,
I mean, what Vanellope says is she kind of, I mean, there's so many racers that she's like, they won't miss me. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, but you're the
but
most popular
the,
racer.
That's what I'm
yeah.
saying. It's,
yeah. But that game existed before
that's
when
true.
They had her throttled.
That's yeah. true.
But she
and,
wasn't.
And it was fine.
But she was hidden. Now yeah. she's like mm-hmm. advertised in the game and she is a popular.
I get that. I'm just, yeah. you know, yeah. I will also say.
There was a long
say,
time where she was not part of that game.
Yeah. yeah. And the game was fine.
I think the core, I mean, they kind of nail the whole core relationship between them is when they, when she says agree to disagree, and that stumps him. And,
right.
and he's like, but I don't want to disagree. And it's like,
she's like, okay,
this
cool.
This is like, there are, you know, in a friendship, it's like, she's kind of like, we don't have to agree on everything.
Yeah. Right.
And he can't handle that.
Right.
And there are people who are like, you know, they have to, you know,
we
like,
all have
you
to be on the same page.
Always have to be aligned 100%. And,
right.
and it's one of those things. It's like, that is his insecurity. And
is,
it is like, sort
be,
of like a lot of the motivation
to.
Of what he does is like, not accepting that.
Yeah, he can't accept her no, basically.
Yeah,
like that's what that is. And I think that's a, you're right, that's a huge part of any friendship.
And I think especially
or
though,
a relationship.
I
yeah.
think,
yeah,
I think since this film revolves around the internet and internet culture, I think it's especially a good point, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of toxic masculinity on the internet. And so when you have a bunch of insecure
98% of the internet is toxic masculinity.
Yeah. Well, when you have a bunch of insecure males that can't, you know, take no for an answer
yeah.
or can't agree to disagree and move on, and they have to, I'm going to end this film studio now because
yeah.
you don't agree with me. Like, I do, I really like the message and everything.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think Vanellope gets away scot-free, but
no, she's again, it's a conversation, it's a plot point that could be resolved somewhat with a conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Like because Ralph overhears Skids and
Shank.
But that's
Mudflap and Skids, that's what they, that's,
yeah.
what, that's
oh, we don't bring that up, we're getting a lot more rocks.
Terrible.
But yeah. because he overhears that conversation, and it's basically Vanellope kind of talking behind Ralph's back.
Yeah. He doesn't know what
he
to
doesn't
do.
Know what, well, he knows what to do. He's crushed.
Yeah.
Like, he, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. But before that, they have the big diversion.
Yes.
That,
yeah, I knew. I
that
knew
my daughter was like, when are the princesses going to
yeah,
show up? And so, and that's
yeah.
why I was like, it's a little long in the setup.
Yep.
And but then when they show up, I was like, oh, man, I hope
so
that's
good.
Not just like, I hope. There's payoff
more
to
it. To
that.
Yeah. When
yeah.
there is.
There is.
But
that's
where I'm like, honestly, those were like kind of the highlights for
yeah.
a lot of people.
Yeah.
And those were, I was like, if they took it out completely, it wouldn't hurt the movie, but
you needed that in there.
I'm glad that it is
yeah,
in the movie
absolutely.
And it does make it longer, but I was like,
oh, I think
well done.
Yeah.
I think they're the best parts of the movie.
They are.
Give
easily.
Me a Prince-off spin-off movie or show right now.
Easily.
I when the trailer came out and they showed it in the trailer.
Did they show all of it?
Well, no, they can't. It's like 7 minutes
That's what
long.
I was gonna say.
From most of the first part when she shows
up. Yeah, but I was just like, oh man, did they really just kill, you know, what is probably the best joke in the movie?
Right.
And I was happy that it was longer.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, okay, they gave us, this isn't a 30-second moment in the film. That's a good, I'd say 4, 5, maybe 7 minutes that she spends with the princesses, not counting the payoff at the end.
But they give you the introduction, but the joke in the movie is the sleepwear.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. I mean, all the Easter eggs on their outfit.
They showed there was a still of them in, like, casual clothes.
Okay. Yeah. But the video they released was not.
No.
And
no,
so
no.
It's great because one of the princesses, you know, there's 20 of them in this
scene. They're all there.
It's all of them, including Merida is in there from Pixar, which
I thought
sets up for that.
I do love the joke.
Scottish people do not love that joke. So it's a big problem on the internet because it's like, well, because
she's from the other studio?
No, she has a thick accent
and they couldn't understand.
You've got all these little girls that have their princesses. Now you have the Scottish one. So people that are Scottish don't like being the butt of a joke.
I think
that's their princess and she doesn't get to say anything you can understand.
I think the funny part of that joke.
Don't let them know about the Simpsons.
Yeah, good lord.
But I mean, like, but for little girls, they're like, oh, a princess in this movie, and mine is a joke.
I like that if Merida is in her world, like, everybody understands her. Yeah. And everybody understands. But as soon as you pull Merida out, everybody's like, I have no idea what you're saying. Like, it is so off the wall. But yeah, but, like, you get, so.
So what happens is Ralph says, Vanellope really wants to help, and she says, I want to be a pop-up. They send a whole army out, and she goes,
right,
I want to go help, and Ralph...
Help from BuzzFeed. So BuzzFeed...
From, yes,
BuzzTube. Sorry. Yeah. BuzzTube sends out little pop-ups and says, hey, go check out this. Go check out that.
So they're going to send her in Yes's private vehicle, but Ralph and his insecurities is like, oh, she could get hurt, whatever. And so let's go somewhere.
They were
going
to send her back to Death Race or whatever.
Slaughter Race. Yeah. So he spins the globe and goes, how about this place with this nice pink castle? So then they go to Oh My Disney, which is Disney's collective, you know, family
is
safe,
that a real
friendly
thing?
Yeah.
Oh My Disney?
It's their site. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so it has Star Wars and Marvel and princesses and every Disney show and everything. And so the Easter eggs here and talk about.
Yeah. Crazy. So you, like, right off the bat, you get Eeyore.
Yeah.
Played by.
But you see Storm.
Brad Iron Man.
Yeah. But you see Iron Man, Storm Buzz Lightyear, Stormtroopers, and the man himself.
Oh,
Stan
the Man.
Stan Lee.
Yeah. Which I got to tell you, pretty smart not to use his voice.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure this has been in production long enough that they could have, but. They don't.
Yeah.
Like, well, he just kind of turns around.
I don't think it ever was.
And he was an Avatar, right?
Yeah.
So it was Stan Lee.
Stan Lee was an Avatar?
He was.
Oh, yes.
It wasn't a real looking. It was.
Yeah,
the
Avatar
Stan Lee. So they're playing.
He's just hanging out.
Hanging out.
Oh, My Disney.
It was, I mean, he has cameos in every
It's his afterlife.
Yeah.
It was a smart joke.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's in all these Marvel movies and they're in a world with Marvel and he pops up.
Sight gag.
It was cute.
So Vanellope is on the run from Stormtroopers because she doesn't have.
They play the Star Wars music.
They did. Yeah. She didn't have a license or a permit to do pop-ups.
And the quiz, they see a little girl taking the quiz, and we see how it is. Like, so online, obviously, if you're online, you see people taking these.
Which princess are you?
But the way they do it is she's in bed, like, picking, I'm a smart, funny, whatever. But in the world, it's a game show.
Right,
and then the princess gets revealed, and it's Snow White, and she's all excited.
And come on, who else did they get in there? Which I actually was surprised about.
Groot.
Oh, Groot.
Oh, yeah, Groot was
voiced by Vin Diesel.
And then also you've got Jason Mantzoukas doing the voice of the first.
Hainong,
the first
man. Comedy Bang Bang is my favorite podcast. And when I found out that their catchphrase, Hainong Man, is a character in Wreck-It Ralph, like, that's great.
I do love where he's asking him, obviously, like,
such a nerdy
comic
question.
Nerd questions. Yeah. And, of course, the response is, I am Groot. Mm-hmm. And then Mantzoukas' character is like, all right.
And walks away.
Great answer.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So if you're a Comedy Bang Bang fan, which I know some people are, I think Linnea is, and some people will appreciate that one.
I do appreciate that they use that one. Like, that's the character you're going to use. Like, obviously, Iron Man is in it, but you only see him, like, off in the distance. Yeah.
But Groot, because of the answers, he's doing a Q&A.
Yeah, right. It's perfect.
But so she goes into this princess place. It says princess dressing room.
Well, she runs past Grumpy.
Yeah,
Grumpy's like, you're not supposed to be back here.
And Peter Pan.
No, Peter Pan Shadow.
Well,
Tinkerbell.
And Tinkerbell.
Yeah, and there's a couple other. Oh, Hey Hey is on the table.
Yeah, love it.
It's,
so but, she busts into the princess.
And you've seen this
glitches
the
into the.
They released.
Yeah, the princess dressing room. And there they all are. Like, and they're all voiced by the original voice.
Every single one.
How many are still alive?
Like,
how many are dead? How about that?
Well,
probably Snow White is
Cinderella and Aurora.
Okay.
But they had them all like at a D23, yeah. And they had them all on stage. And,
oh, really?
I mean, it's,
oh,
yeah, it's Mandy Moore and it's,
well, I could see
Paige O'Hare.
Yeah,
and,
like those like, make sense.
Ming-Na
like,
and
Mulan.
Yeah.
Pocahontas. They're all
right.
More then, than you would imagine. Yeah.
But so
Jodie Benson.
Yeah.
Who's Jodie Benson?
That's Belle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then Ariel is Paige O'Hare, or did I mix those up?
I think you got them in reverse.
But yeah, but reverse those. And
so we're looking at all, like the ones that are from the 30s are probably gone.
Right.
Yes. Everybody else post that is.
Yeah. But okay. So then you've seen all this, but then Snow White or one of them goes, "What is this dress?" And they're all looking at her hoodie. And,
yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, this is
my clothes." She's
and
like, can
so
you make us,
we'll have
the
mice whip these up.
Yeah. So you get Gus Gus and
Cinderella. So the mice whip these up, and then they're all in loungewear. And
yeah,
and
this very specific loungewear.
Yeah. Each one has a thing.
I love the Snow White one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love them all. Moana, Shiny with the bad guy. I mean, they're great.
But yeah. So this is the scene you get where they're just like, you know, is your grandmother trying to kill you or this? And like, I do love where Vanellope's like, are you all right?
Yeah.
Like, well, because then to call the cops.
Then Belle and Ariel, you know, going, they're like, you kidnapped her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Are you okay? Do I need to call
someone?
I don't have a mom.
Neither do we. I do like that joke's not in the trailer.
That's a good joke.
I
mean, that's always been kind of a running gag about Disney. Sure. It's like, what is their
deal with Rubs?
It's like, what did it lead into it?
But Anna and Elsa did have a mom. Like,
no,
we saw
they're not
them
dead,
anymore.
Just like all,
that's all their moms are dead.
That's
we never
they
see,
all have moms,
did we ever
Joe.
See their moms? That like, we saw Anna and Elsa's mom.
No, but they're...
But do we... But my question is, do we ever see... Like the other princesses' moms,
they've
ever.
Always been,
but they always are dead.
Right, I know that.
Right,
but on film, we see Anna and Elsa's parents.
Yeah,
we never see any other princesses' parents. Right.
Oh,
that's my question. Like, are Anna and Elsa the only one that we see their parents?
Cinderella's.
Do we see Cinderella's
parents?
Mom?
We see dads.
Well, I think dead. Yeah.
We do?
Like, well, because we see her grieving dad. I don't remember if they show,
is
like...
Is he, like, over
that's
her
true,
body?
In the bed. She's crying on the bed,
yeah.
Okay.
She's sick in bed or whatever.
I just feel like that's one of those Disney tropes that, like, you never see the mother, but Anna and Elsa,
gotcha.
You see their mother and
but
father.
But die at a very young age.
Yeah.
Also...
Don't worry, they
on
became,
the Tarzan
they became Tarzan's parents.
And, way to, let Tiana have her actual natural hair.
Yep.
Well,
that was not that was that
after
was good
a
move.
After a power struggle.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, the internet lit up because they made her lighter skinned and had hair that
from,
didn't look
from the original movie?
From the from the trailer for this movie, they showed her and she had light skin and like curly longer hair that didn't look right.
No.
And the internet lit, you know, and then they consulted with the actress that voices her, and she helped them, and then they made her look.
It's good. Yeah, you should. You can't
you
do
know.
That. You know,
the one black princess to make her light skinned and
bold move
and have
dumb move.
You know, Caucasian hair.
But that's good. That's one of those things where they fixed it, and rightfully so, and good for them.
I do love that Ralph kisses the frog.
Yes.
That was
I thought, you know, and you think at first Tiana's going to, and she whips out the frog, but then he goes, Frogger.
Yeah. What are you doing
that's
here?
That's the end, though. So.
So they, you know, we should get back. So that was that one scene. And then, so.
They tell her to look in the water.
Yeah.
Because
and I do
all,
love that.
Apparently, all and have looked what to the.
Yes. Yeah. And Vanellope's just like, you want me to look into water? And they're like, yeah, it works every time. And just sing a song. And there's like.
And good on them for kind of. I mean, they. It's very self-referential, but Disney didn't have to make fun of themselves. They did.
No.
Or were willing to make fun of themselves.
That's
it makes
good,
all of this so much.
It does. I agree.
You know.
So she's walking like through out of Oh My Disney, and she just happens to stumble across like a kicked over bucket.
Mm-hmm.
And she's looking.
It's like soda that's kicked over.
Yeah. She's looking in a puddle and it's not working. Ralph calls and says, hey, we won. Like, we got it. She's like, okay,
Well, he read
there.
All the mean comments first, which is kind of a kick in the pants.
Oh, yeah. And I do like that.
You never read
like,
the comments
never read
section.
The comments
when, as soon as he walks in there, and then again, like my second viewing, and Katie, it was her first, and she's like, oh, when he goes to the comments section, like, no, don't go in there.
Yeah, it's a bad move.
And so
bad
I reads
move.
All the mean comments, but then yes, comes in. She's like, well, good news. Yeah, don't ignore them, but good news, you did it.
You did it. We're good to go.
Yeah.
So he pays for the steering wheel.
Well, he calls her and says, return.
Right. Meet us at eBay and we'll get out of here.
Yeah. And this is when she does.
Yeah, she does. And she breaks into massive old school
Alan
Disney
Menken.
Song.
Yeah.
So did Alan Menken write anything for Frozen or was that?
No, that's is that the Coco people?
It's the husband and wife.
Yeah.
Team.
Okay. But this is like Aladdin and you know, Beauty and the Beast style with different words, obviously.
Like, yeah, but totally about, in the vein of
So then they have the conversation with Sketch, and then whatever name is.
Okay. I was hoping you would come up with new ones each time. But you've already used Sketch.
I have Skids. No, Skids is what I said. Sketch. Did I say
Sketch? You said one time. Sketch the first time. I'm looking for another one, so keep that in mind. Skewer.
Scream. Yeah. So they have the conversation. Ralph sees it. He's busted up. He decides to go back to... Oh, no. He shows up at eBay. Vanellope never shows. He talks to Bill Hader's character. What was his name?
That's J.P. Spamley.
Spamley, which I thought was another great name.
This is a fun name. But he's like, you know, do you have any experience in viruses?
And he's like, what do you, who told you that? So they go to Alfred Molina's character down in the dark web.
Don't look at his little brother.
Oh my God, that's so great.
Also, when him and Vanellope have their little following out, and she throws their medal. Because isn't this already happened? Or is this
no,
next?
This happens when Ralph.
See, this is
says,
the thing where it's like you have a whole movie, and you're like, oh, it's got to be wrapping up, and there's this whole subplot.
Yeah,
so it gets kind of confusing.
When Ralph reveals that he's the
okay,
reason,
so keep going. Okay, keep going.
So they go to this thing, and I do
but
love
the dark web.
The little brother gag is hilarious. They give him an insecurity, and they're just like,
it's Gord's cousin.
Just release this into the game. It'll find an insecurity and it'll shut down the game.
But everyone will be okay, right?
He's like, I don't want to kill
anybody.
Are
you stupid?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they found insecurity or a virus in Tron.
Right.
So it's like, he just wants to, you know,
shut it down for a little bit.
Slow down the game so it doesn't peel so much.
Right.
That was definitely foreshadowing, but another one that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because we know if they're in different games, they die if they don't, if something happens.
If their code is not,
and like,
yeah.
So they ran into a virus in Tron, and like, I'm just thinking like, oh, they shouldn't have even gotten him in that situation, but they were setting up for this payoff.
Right.
So, yeah.
So Ralph releases the insecurity into the game, and it doesn't find anything right away until
Vanellope,
it finds
Vanellope. Racing with Skid Row or whatever
it is. Yeah. Wonder
Skewer.
Woman.
And so, but then all of a sudden she sees an inflatable monkey guy like at a car dealership,
like,
and she is reminded of him, and so she stops, and then when she gets insecure about seeing
her glitch kicks in.
He
zeroes in on her, and then the glitch, and he shoots
and
it everywhere.
Like,
and
she's like 15-20% insecure. It's very low.
Right. So, but it's enough to
copy paste everywhere. Yeah.
So they get everybody out of the game. The game is going to have to reboot itself. And Ralph kind of says, he's like, "Look, I didn't mean."
Well, Ralph has to go save her.
Yeah, he brings her out.
So
yeah.
there's 60 seconds to go, and everybody else will be fine. But her code isn't in the game.
Her and Ralph have to get out of the game.
So yeah, he has to go save her. So there's 60 seconds, and he ends up going to save her at
and
the last
her
minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then so she wakes up in his hands,
and this is sad because she's like, "It's all my fault," and she's crying, and it's a really tough moment because she's blaming herself and her glitch, which is something she dealt with since the first movie.
Right,
and here you have Ralph that caused it all.
And Ralph's like,
he owns up to it. But.
Yeah, he owns it. And then there's a big falling out between the two. She takes off his medal and tosses it,
which is obviously a huge token of their friendship that's carried over. And it crashes on the bottom to like the internet that is no more, which is it's got some.
Well,
no,
we're not there yet.
But that's where it goes, though.
Right. Oh yeah,
the old dumping ground of the internet, which has some great Easter eggs.
Yes. Yeah. So the insecurity gets out of the game and focuses on Ralph.
Of course, Alfred Molina says, "As long as it doesn't get out."
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is it's kind of the same plot of the first movie if you think about it.
Kind of.
With the hero's duty, aliens,
you
and they get
duty.
Out of the alien eggs get out into the other games. I mean, it's a similar plot.
It is a very similar premise,
but
with a much creepier villain.
Yeah.
But so now, good lord.
But so now you see the little creepy virus slinking out of the destroyed.
Yeah, it comes out and it focuses on Ralph, and Ralph is 100% insecure.
This is where they have their big falling out, and so at this point, she walks away from him, and he's
crushed. So now this virus is now
copy paste, shooting everywhere,
cannons like the internet. He is shutting down.
Now
basically.
He literally broke the internet earlier. Now he breaks the internet.
So yeah. So now Vanellope's kind of walking, cruising around the internet and just kind of walking around. And what we think could be Ralph walks around the corner, and it's like she's like, "I don't want to talk to you."
It's a shadowy figure.
Yeah, it looks like Ralph. Yeah. Like it's the same outline, same fist, same
Ralph?
Everything. And then it's
friend.
Just, yeah, and it's like. Bizarro Ralph,
friend?
Zombie Ralph, and then it's very creepy because like he's a different color, he's like a tint of red.
Well, and also if you look closely,
he's got
circuitry
on
his skin,
like, and up the side of his neck, which also I don't know. It's always been a thing for me is like when thing, like, you know, like when you get bit by a zombie or something and you get like the
veins
or whatever, they go, it creeps me out. Oh. I don't know why. I don't like it. It gives me the willies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So things turning into other things.
No, that was when I was a kid. Like, even as an adult, like, I don't like the idea of something like inside your body crawling up the side of your face. No,
and troll dolls. Got it.
Yeah, those are awful.
With the hair.
Yeah. So the internet is shutting down. Like, it's
she just, looks everywhere are thousands, millions. They're just multiplying of into Ralph.
Yeah.
All looking for her, targeting her.
Friend. Yeah. And I'm trying to think, where did Ralph...
Well, Ralph goes now down to the bottom to get the necklace, right?
Yeah, he did.
He goes down to the bottom of the internet to where she threw it. And so now you see... GeoCities, a column of GeoCities that he throws off. You see dial-up in the background. You see Alta Vista Search on the ground. Mm-hmm. You see there are lots, I mean, tons more, I'm sure, hidden in there, but all the old... there's a dilapidated building that says Group Chat Room.
Oh, really?
No one does chat rooms anymore. Yeah.
So, yeah, so but how does Ralph get back to Vanellope? Like, how do we get to the big Ralph?
Well, so he finds the broken necklace, and it's a very sad moment because he's holding it up, and it's broken in half.
Right.
And then...
That's right. That's where I forget. I can't...
Let me just read ahead here for a second.
Either way...
It all kind of just
blurs back together. They get back together, and now the...
Then turns into King
Turns Kong. Into... Yeah, basically. And it turns into a giant... All the little Ralphs. They just say, look, if we can get you to the antivirus...
They go to Knowsmore.
That's right.
She
that's
goes to Knowsmore, and he kind of saves her.
That's right. He shows
how long,
up there.
How long will this help? That's why, because he disappears. You don't see him.
Right.
She escapes, but then Knowsmore's like 3 seconds. And then a Ralph breaks through the door, and what do they throw something at him?
Yeah. He's like, stop. It's me.
It's really me. And that's,
Yeah, so they, if we can get you to the antivirus section of the internet, we're going to be fine. Like, as soon as one of them goes through.
That's what Knowsmore knows about that.
It'll clear it all up.
And they have Norton and McAfee and malware, but all the logos.
All that stuff. Yeah. So they're on their way there, and in the process, like, these Ralphs have become, like, zombies, basically. I don't know how else to describe it. And they make one giant Ralph.
And I think
it's like World War Z.
It is. That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
They end up throwing them into Pinterest. I thought this was clever. Yeah. The offices of Pinterest have all these photos pinned up on cork boards. And then, like, there's a big statue in the middle that's a pin.
A pin.
And he takes that. And I like
using it.
It
to beat up on.
I like this because you get his catchphrase. You get, I'm a wreck-it, and boom. Yeah. And, you know, you see in the theater and the bass and everything. It's kind of like the beginning of Lord of the Rings when Sauron swings his hammer and you get the big bass line and all
I've
the armies.
Lord of the Rings.
It's bizarre.
Really.
But you know, Lord of the Rings, in the beginning with Sauron swings
you wouldn't
the hammer
do anything,
and all the guys.
You wouldn't want to do anything nerdy.
No.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's too nerdy.
But it's like in this movie, he's like, I'm a wreck-it, boom, and you get the big shockwave, and he gets a couple good beatings.
Okay,
and,
yeah. And then, so the only way that, so creepy giant Ralph is starting to crush little Ralph, and Vanellope kind
of...
Starts to sacrifice, well, he gets her out of there.
Yeah.
And then so... Vanellope kind of sacrifices herself where she's just like, look, stop, fine. Like, I'll be your friend. Please let him go. And then they let Ralph go. Is this where the princesses show up?
No.
No, she, they, Ralph kind of comes to grips, right? With what he's like, they have a talk. The thing turns.
Oh, that's right. Ralph starts talking. Ralph starts talking to crazy big Ralph.
Yeah.
And then, like, kind of gets rid of the insecurity.
Yeah, he's I was too clingy.
We can still
be friends and all this. So this is the moment where he learns about
And then it lets him go.
It turns yellow.
That's what it was.
Dissolves.
Disappear.
And then now we've got
it falls.
The princesses.
And this scene is
fantastic.
Amazing. It's a medley of all the songs from all the princesses, and they all have a skill that they combine with each other's powers. Because, like, Ariel...
They're like the Princess Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this
it's
is.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, water, and Ariel swims through it.
Ariel makes like a spiral, and then Elsa
like
freezes.
Moana brings the water.
Yeah,
Ariel swims through it. Elsa freezes it.
Yeah,
he goes down a slide.
Right, and then the
it's great.
He falls into like all of the birds stretch out.
Rapunzel's hair makes the ropes, and
is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah, and then the apples kill the ropes so that the thing falls and the parachutes.
Ralph falls into Snow White's costume.
Outfit,
and then lands on a bed.
It's not made for a big boy.
It's not made for a big boy. And Tiana gives him, he's going to give him a kiss, and then she takes who I guess was her husband, right?
Prince Naveen?
Isn't that the thing?
It's a frog.
Okay.
And sometimes then, like, it's like when it's
sometimes
like when,
a frog is just a frog.
Sometimes yeah. a frog is just a frog. That's so,
and, you know, it's like when you know, they have Beauty and the Beast, or, you know, these movies, or no, it's even like Rapunzel or Tangled. Like at the end of Tangled, she has short hair. Mm-hmm. They get married, but then they do spin-offs, and it's like, oh, now
but she's got short hair in Frozen.
Okay, but that's a little But
I don't think her hair can't grow back in Rapunzel.
No, it grew back.
Okay, fair enough.
Have you watched the show?
No,
the Tangled show.
There's a Tangled show.
Yeah.
It's really good. No, it's like 2D, right? Kind of like
It's really well done, and it's all the same voice cast. Yeah. And
oh, really?
Yeah.
But I mean, is that? But yeah. So I mean, you've got to have the princesses in their element. You know, I mean.
So did she cut it for Elsa's coronation?
No, I think it's like after that. That's in between. Oh, okay. But it's like an in between time. It's.
Well, yeah, you know, I got you. Yeah.
It's well done.
So anyway, so they all
sounds
do
like Rube Goldberg was a Disney princess.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so then, you know, Ralph's okay. Vanellope comes, you know, Ralph is comes to terms with Vanellope's staying in the racing game. And it's like, this is kind of it's a gut punch.
It's bittersweet.
Yeah.
It's a really sweet moment when the necklace comes together.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he gives her the necklace. And she's like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, now we each have a half.
Right.
And they hug and it goes together. And it's like,
Right. So then Ralph is kind of like, Ralph is still living his life. We flash forward a little bit. Vanellope's in the racing game. Her code has been added to the game.
Yeah. I'm glad they addressed that. Because that was a big one where I'm like, well, she wants to stay in this game so
she
bad.
Better not die.
We know the rules, but... I mean, I don't know how Skidmark does it, but she does somehow.
Skidmark. Yeah, it's because, you know, you hit the...
No, I got it. Yeah, okay. I know what they are.
So then Ralph, they talk every day right before...
Every week.
Here's the thing.
Once a week.
Once a week. Like, they can't talk every day because Vanellope is going to be on... like working.
This is the problem 24/7. Is she has an online game now,
right?
And that's why, because the first time I saw it, I'm like, well, why can't she just, you know, teleport back and forth?
She's always gonna be,
but
it's always gonna
their
be
game
on.
Shuts down. Yeah. Hers does not ever.
Right.
It's online 24/7, which is how those games work. So it makes sense. So she has to go on a maintenance
the
update.
Problem it's the problem with the gig economy.
And that's kind of how it ends, is Ralph kind of said they say their goodbyes, and Ralph gets up and he's gonna go. He watches the sunrise and he goes back to his game and everything's kind of hunky dory. And there's
Felix and Jane Lynch adopt all the kids.
Have whipped
and they're
those
all,
kids
they're
back
all nice
shape.
Now.
Yeah.
Which is good. They're little pieces of crap.
Yeah,
and
they're awful.
Like, they're...
But I do love that, like, the secret to parenting is.
That's a great joke. Oh, I wish every parent could hear that.
Yeah, yeah, it was very good.
So it's fun and hopefully everyone is okay with. How is Litwack okay with that controller showing up? I'm just like, I wonder what he thought.
I picture him as like an old timey dude who's just like, okay,
all right,
One of the kids bought it.
One of the kids bought it. Like, doesn't care.
I'm just curious what he thought. Where I was like, oh, that's interesting.
But no,
corporate sent it.
They knew.
It was gonna... Litwack's corporate.
I did not enjoy this as much as the first one, but I found it
enjoyable.
Solid. It's a very good.
Very clever.
It's a really good follow-up.
It's a very good follow-up.
It has its problems. I think it's a little lazy, but it's completely enjoyable.
Again, very interesting that they don't use a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like and it's smart.
You're seeing more and more of that, though.
Yeah. How do you mean?
We've had a couple other movies that didn't really
Did
have
we?
Villain. Yeah. The... God dang it.
Well, the Marvel movies have done it lately. Seriously.
Oh, I was like...
No, yeah. Civil War doesn't have... I mean, they pit him against themselves, but he's not like a super...
Yeah, I was going to say, Zemo was...
Zemo wasn't
not really a villain.
I mean, he had his motivations and pits them against each other, but it's not like the big, you know.
Yeah. I was thinking of the Pixar movie where they're in the head. They're all emotions.
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
That's true. There's
no
villain in that.
There's no villain
fair.
In that.
That's fair. Yeah, the villain is yourself, basically.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So
there it is.
Well, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, this was tough because I was like... You know, trying to do a video game related movie that we all haven't seen.
Haven't seen. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a movie from 1983. It's actually an anthology. It's a horror anthology called Nightmares. And I used to love this movie.
We're getting flashbacks when you say horror anthology.
Yeah, wait a minute. I just woke up.
Anthology from 1983. It came out 2 years after Tron.
Yeah.
And it had a few people in it. I mean, it's very like low budget looks like something like a Tales from the Dark Side kind of a thing.
Yeah,
it was a theatrical release and it was big on home video. And one of the stories had Lance Henriksen's in one of them and stuff like that. But in one of the stories, it has a very young Emilio Estevez in a scene or in a story called The Bishop of Battle. And it's about this kid who is like a kind of a hustler, video game, you know, hustler who's trying to basically fund. He's trying to get to the 13th level of this one video game. And everybody's like, no, it's a myth. And he's trying to get into it. And it's very telling of the time and location, because like his maybe love interest is like Moon Unit Zappa. Frank Zappa's kid.
Totally.
And, yeah. And he's like a valley kid, but he goes to like, you know, the downtown to like hustle the Latino community, who keep calling him S.A. And I'm like, very, a little heavy handed. Right, yeah, right, right. Like, I'm like, all of a sudden he like went to like West Side Story. He's like, hold up. I'm like, wait a minute, but it's fine. You know, it's, you know, and he gets down there and he hustles him, and, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I guess it's beginner's luck, you know, but, you know, let's try again. And, you know, ends up getting a ton of money and arguing with his parents. And, I love the soundtrack. I remember I was 16 when I saw this, and I was like, and his, like, all he does is listen to like really hard punk and play, you know, yeah, and play with his headphones on. And it's like bands like Fear and,
oh man, I love Fear
yeah,
so much.
Yeah. And Lee Ving, the lead singer of Fear, is actually in another part of this movie. Anyway, it's about how he's trying to get to this 13th level, and as he defeats the 12th level, the machine kind of implodes, and then all of the villains are creatures or spaceships, whatever. It's pretty rudimentary.
Then you got to do Tron, yeah, too. You know.
I mean, honestly, I'd say they're, awesome, they're better than Tron at the time, but then, yeah, you know, because they're 2 years later, because they come out in the real world, and like he has a battle inside
the 13th level, right?
Inside the game, yeah, room, and then running around.
So this is
and
Pixels,
stuff like that.
But good.
It is. You know, it's only like 15 minutes. So 20 minutes.
So like the good Pixels.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. Right.
But yeah, because I was like, what was that movie that I used to watch all the time? And it was, yeah.
This sounds familiar, but I can't think if I ever saw it. But it sounds so, like, I remember
this
plot.
This was a VHS staple.
And it's funny. Yeah, it was. And it's funny because if you watch Emilio, it's like, man, he is so much like his dad.
Yep.
And just this, and he's,
I always
young,
feel like he's always doing an impression of his,
oh,
dad.
Oh, this is like full bore, like, oh my God. It's like watching like really young Martin Sheen, probably, yeah, like 16, 17 year old.
Someone
Martin
shared
Sheen
a poster online of something, and I don't know if it was a friend or on the group, but someone was like, he looks just like his dad.
He looks,
yeah,
he looks more like his dad than Charlie does.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Good. And Charlie has
good,
the same.
Good for Martin Sheen.
Yeah, no, yeah, kidding, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those like sort of, it's sort of like, you know, Wreck-It Ralph in reverse. But you know, Tron just seemed like a little too on the nose. Was, yeah. You know.
Oh yeah, I remember,
oh,
this.
Yes. That's it. Yeah,
I
it
remember
is
him, oh, yeah, in this outfit with the. I just,
it's, yeah,
it's been a long time.
It's,
yeah,
and it is very. It's kind of, you know, when you see the game room, it's just like lit wax, you know, but it's like a 1983 game room, which was the place you,
that was place,
oh,
yeah,
that's
place
what you
go,
did. You went to, yeah, you go to. So.
It's probably a nice cultural artifact.
It
to
is
see
it's,
what it looked like.
Really, yeah, it sure is. It's one of those things where you're kind of like, oh.
They kind of, yeah, capture it in T2.
I was gonna say, yeah, T2. Yeah. All the kids going to the mall arcade.
Well, no, that was just a. Was it a mall arcade?
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. It was because
it was
right
in the mall.
Right.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
right. That's right.
But remember, Exilorama.
Yeah.
Those,
oh, yeah,
ones all,
well,
at the,
and,
mall.
And like, I mean, Stranger Things, they kind of touched on that too in the second season of Stranger,
yeah,
Things.
Yeah.
But it's yeah, it's a time capsule of what that was before, you know, it, mm-hmm, became kind of like ironic now.
Yeah. So. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah. You're,
well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do so at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. Also, don't forget about our Patreon account at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So I guess that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Creed 2.
Yeah. Dumb. Dun, dun, dun.
Or Rocky 4.1.
Well, we'll get into that.
Yes.
Yeah.
0.05.
Yeah. So that's it for this one. And until next time, the kid gets a BB gun.
I gotta know. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.